This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
After acquiring James Harden in a four-team trade, the Brooklyn Nets are now the second choice to win the NBA title behind the Los Angeles Lakers. On Monday, the Nets were 12-1 to capture the title. They're now at plus 350 behind the Lakers at plus 230. Reaction to the trade on My Guys of the Desert with Matt Youmans, Tim Murray, Vinny Maiulo, and Danielle Elvari.
The Nets are trying to acquire more divas than that TV show, The Talk. I don't think this could possibly work. It really can't. I mean, you've got three guys who are ball-dominant type of players. Kevin Durant, the least ball-dominant of the three, Benny.
Agreed.
But and not only that, you have egos you got to fit in this locker room. I would hate to be the coach of this team. This only pays off if you somehow win a title in the next couple of years. If you win a championship, I always say, hey, if you win a championship, you can say, well, what we gave up is worth it. If you don't, it's a freaking disaster because you mortgaged your future for, I think, a risky present.
You hit on a key point, mortgaging for the future here. So if you look at it, it's not that the Nets' price has really significantly been impacted. Pacers' price goes up. You'll get a better price on the Pacers now and the Rockets. But stockpiling draft picks and some good young talent, Nets are going to have to first of all, Nets have zero depth now. Oh, by the way, they don't have enough depth in the starting lineup because you don't know if these guys are going to feel like playing.
Right. Might not play tonight already. I'm going to sit at home and do Zoom. I'm not going to play.
Situation here where, I hate to coach a team. Nash, this is his first year coaching.
Right.
What, you think he's loving? I mean, he's going to get paid. They're all going to get paid. But certainly, I view it this way. Rockets came in first here, Pacers second. The Nets came in last. Well, Cavs third and Nets fourth.
I love what this trade brought to the Rockets. You got a chance to restock your franchise. You get rid of James Harden's contract and all those issues. If I'm Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets, I'm really happy we were able to make this move.
My Guys of the Desert reacting to the trade that sent James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets, a four-team trade, and the Nets odds shortened to win the NBA title from 12-1 to plus 350 just behind the Los Angeles Lakers. My Guys of the Desert heard weekdays 5-7 Eastern on VSIN. The NHL season is underway. The Vegas Golden Knights are 6-1 to win the NHL title. They're also plus 190 to win the West Division. The Golden Knights have two goaltenders, and that could be a good problem, according to Sunset Station Race and Sportsbook Director Chuck Esposito.
There's going to be so many back-to-backs where it's a Friday-Sunday or a Friday-Saturday. I think they have 56 games in about, I think it's 116 days. So no trips back east or extended road trips. But I think, you look at their goaltending tandem, and it probably did them well that they didn't trade Fleury. I mean, you have to hope that both these guys stay healthy. But when you can run one of these two guys out between the pipes every night, and I think they will alternate a lot during the season, I think you'll see close to a 50-50 split. I think it's a huge advantage for Vegas against a lot of teams in the West.
It's another huge NFL playoff weekend coming up, plus daily basketball and tennis betting action, and the NHL drops the puck this week. The VSiN experts are working on every sport every day to give you a betting edge. Subscribers get all of your insights and analysis for the NFL playoff matchups at our new NHL betting guide to help you make the most informed betting decisions possible. Become a VSiN all-access subscriber today, vsin.com/subscribe. That's VSIN. VSIN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Sennett.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cashing tickets is what it's all about.
It's the most exciting time of the sports betting year. With football playoffs, pro and college hoops, hockey, golf, soccer, tennis, and with all this action, you need the analysis and insights from VSiN sports betting experts more than ever. Get daily email best bets from our hosts and guests, 24/7 video streaming, and our point spread weekly betting guides to improve your betting IQ and give yourself an edge. Invest in your sports betting success with a VSiN subscription today at VSiN.com/subscribe.
subscribe.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets, bringing you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines and action. Beating the Book with Gail Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit vsin.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, your host out in Las Vegas. Your other host today is out in Denver, Colorado. That would be the one and only James Salinas. James, how are you? Happy Friday.
I'm antsy, man. I'm itching. My leg is twitching. I'm ready. I mean, we're roughly 24 hours away from kickoff for divisional playoffs, and that's what I love the most. This is probably the best weekend of the NFL season throughout the regular season, et cetera. I know last week was really interesting because we had six games when it came to the wild card weekend, but ultimately we know there was a few teams that kind of really didn't deserve to be there based on their body of work over 17 weeks, and we kind of saw that play out. Now we've gotten through all of those teams. Those bad teams are out of the way. We've got the top teams in each conference. We're ready to get after it.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to get your thoughts on it as we just are a day away from the divisional rounds right there. We got a loaded show, too. We got Greg Peterson to cover college basketball. He'll be up on the show a little bit later. Paul Bruno to cover NHL. He'll be up on the show a little bit later. Ben Fox as well. And then Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. He's going to join the program to help us break down these football games, too. But let's get our quick takes here on some of these games because the news and notes, certainly. We know Aaron Donald's going to play. Cooper Kupp, a little questionable right there. But I was looking at some different angles, too, to match up against the Packers and the Rams, James, and from a playoff standpoint and then also a second contract standpoint, who's going to be extra motivated and who's going to be a key player? So John Johnson, a strong safety for the Rams, he's set to hit free agency this year, James. In addition to when you have Jalen Ramsey in a loaded Rams defense, Leonard Floyd is another one. We mentioned him before. I'm looking for big things from John Johnson, a safety for the LA Rams.
Yeah, and Floyd's on the one-year contract too, right? So, and ultimately, yeah, you're playing as a team. You're playing to advance. You want to get to the NFC Championship game. But, you know, you, as a former player, obviously, Pritch, you're going to take those angles and understand the urgency from that standpoint to play well and to show out, whether it's for your current team or as a free agent, what does that look like? Hey, when we step into the limelight, we're talking about playoff football. This is what I'm capable of showing out and giving a great performance. So I like the edge. I like the angle from where you're coming from. Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Packers still sitting at 6.5, 45.5. The total's coming down a little bit. When I was looking for ways to get aboard the Rams, whether or not that line moves, I'm hoping that it does, but I don't know if it will. But if I do want to back the Rams, I was just looking for those other angles there. Have you find out anything else? Are you looking for anything else, James, when it comes to the Packers or the Rams in terms of making a decision on this game?
Yeah, I think for me, this one is probably, I'm trying to make a case for the Rams and ultimately their offense and Jared Goff to be able to go on the road and win at Lambeau. Now, we've talked about it for the last probably the month or so when we talked about, you know, not a whole lot of fans in the stands, maybe 10% at a number of these stadiums, but ultimately, was there going to be a home field advantage at Lambeau Field for Green Bay to get that number one seed, knowing full well when you get to January, weather is going to be it will play a factor within that game. But ultimately, tomorrow's weather really isn't that bad. It's relatively mild. It's going to be highs in the low 30s, a little bit of wind, so the wind chill will dip down into the mid-20s. But it's nothing that drastic. And I know there's a lot of talk about Jared Goff and hasn't played well in cold weather. But ultimately, it's a really small sample size of what he's done in the cold. I think more so my concern with Goff, before we even talk about his thumb and where he's at physically, is just the mindset. I think we've seen that for a number of years where get into big games, you got to make make good decisions with where you're going to go with the football. I think McVay has done a masterful job for the last few years working with Goff to really play to his strengths and get him outside the pocket. We know what they're going to run. I mean, the Rams really aren't, you know, they're going to run a lot. There's so many misdirection things that they're going to do to try to get pressure off of Goff and make simple reads for him. And the reads are there, but he doesn't always make the right read. And I think that really frustrates McVay. But ultimately, Pritch, I'm still kind of stuck with this game from the Packers standpoint. I don't want to lay 6.5 in a playoff game against that Rams defense. And I think that's going to be the matchup there. I don't know if we're going to expect a whole lot of that Rams offense. I think they're going to be dependent upon that defense to make plays, shorten the field, give their offense in more advantageous field position to be able to put some points on the board. But ultimately, what is Aaron Rodgers going to do against that defense? Now we're talking about a Packers team that, yeah, they did lose their left tackle in Bakhtiari, but they've had some rest and some time to not only heal their bodies, but to get their mind right to roll into this big divisional matchup. So I'm leaning towards Green Bay right now, but I just don't feel comfortable laying that number.
All right, looking at the props too, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, 261.5. Jared Goff, 215.5. Rushing yards, Akers, 70.5. Aaron Jones, 68.5. Two Devontae Adams with the premier matchup against Jalen Ramsey, 76.5. A lot of decisions right there, James. Ravens at the Bills, same thing. You know, trying to pick a side or trying to figure out if we can find betting angles, certainly. But some of these props are enticing, though, when it comes to this game. Bills are still -3 here, or looking at a -3 out here in Vegas. That total, 49.5. But some of these props with Josh Allen at 303.5 passing yards, Lamar Jackson, 204.5. Rushing yards, Lamar Jackson leads the way, 75.5. J.K. Dobbins, 57.5. Singletary, 42.5. Josh Allen, 37.5. Stephon Diggs, 91.5 receiving yards. Marquise Brown, 58.5. So it sounds like from these props, if you like the overs, we're going to get the type of game that everybody wants to on this weekend.
Yeah, and I think for this game here, this matchup with the Ravens going into Buffalo, weather may be a bit of a factor. They've talked about, is it going to snow? Is it not going to snow? Right now, again, it seems like every time we talk, Pritch, the weather forecast has changed. And right now, roughly about 30 hours prior to kickoff, it just says overcast, temperatures in the upper 20s, a little bit of a wind, so any wind anywhere from 10 to 15 miles an hour. Maybe there's gusts, and I think that'll impact the passing game. But I think we know what these teams are. I think their identities are very clear. And so we look at these props. When you're looking at player props, you have to try to picture what is the game plan going into this matchup for both teams. And I circle back to last year. So last year, Buffalo did host the Ravens in mid-December, and the Ravens won that football game, but if you go back and look at that game, neither team was effective offensively whatsoever, and especially on third down. Both teams were horrid on third down. So the score was 24-17. There wasn't a whole lot of points put up on the board. They really kept, as far as the Bills' defense, they really kept Lamar Jackson in check. He didn't have a whole lot of rushing attempts. I think it was 11 carries for 40 yards, but really, ultimately, it was the Bills' ineptitude on the offensive side, in particular the passing game, is which they really struggled. I think they were 3 out of 17 or 4 out of 17 on third down. So there was a lot of punts. Their punters were really busy in that game. But this is a different Buffalo Bills offense than what we've saw last year. Right. And I think the emergence of having Stephon Diggs stepping in there. I mean, he and Allen have hooked up. They've been hot, and they've definitely been hot through the month of December. That's the X factor to me of the difference from last year's matchup to this year's matchup is Stephon Diggs for that offense, because I think what it does is it's going to give some versatility to what the Bills are going to do on third down. I think that's where Beasley was really his main target last year. Think about what that's opened up for Beasley in between the hashes and his routes that he runs, because they have to focus so much attention on Diggs. And even these defenses continue to roll their coverage towards Diggs, he's still beating it, especially when they're playing man. And ultimately, Pritch, we know what Baltimore wants to do. They want to bring pressure on the quarterback, and they do play a little zone behind, but a lot of times it's really a lot of man-to-man coverage, and that's going to be the matchup right there. Who's going to match up with Diggs over four quarters, especially on third down?
Absolutely. Great analysis right there, James Salinas. Let's move on to the Browns and the Chiefs. This line movement here, just a half a point, but line movement. I mean, it stayed 10 forever. We got -9.5 here for the Chiefs. They're laying 9.5. 57 is the total. James, when it comes to props in this one, Baker Mayfield, 259.5 passing yards. Patrick Mahomes, 321.5 passing yards. I know Denzel Ward and others and the Browns getting a little bit healthy, but man, Patrick Mahomes, 321.5. If he achieves that, I don't know what this line means for this game right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think you correlate those, right? Like mm-hmm. if you think the KC is going to cover that 9.5 or 10, that's where it's really been toggling between as far as the point spread goes. If you think Kansas City is going to put points on the board, and why wouldn't we? I mean, they're fully capable. We know how explosive that offense can be, although they really haven't shown it, especially the last month of the season. But if you like that number, then you're going to really put your money on the fact that, yeah, they're going to put points on the board. Who's ultimately going to be responsible for that? And it will be Mahomes in that passing game, because there are so many talented receivers that he can throw to, as well as Kelsey, who really plays like a receiver himself. So I get it. That, and that you can kind of correlate some of those with the way you think the game's going to go based on the point spread, based on the total, and also correlate it with some of these props. Now, when we look at that prop, that's a lot of yardage when we're talking 321. He's going to have the attempts to do that. And that's my concern going into this game, is I think we know exactly what Cleveland is. They're going to want to run the football. They do have some issues on the offensive line that I want to dig into as we can continue the program today. But they want to run the football. They want to pound it with Chubb and Hunt coming back to Kansas City, who used to be there. Now he's really that change of pace back for the Cleveland Browns. Browns have to run the football here, and I think when you're looking at these props, well, does that mean Baker Mayfield's going to have a lot of throwing alleys, and how many attempts is he going to have? And ultimately, I think looking at those props, the first thing I would look at is Baker Mayfield under 259.5 yards, because I think for Cleveland to compete in this game, that running game has to be established, and they have to do it consistently. The more that they can take the ball out of Baker Mayfield's hands, the more successful they're going to be.
Right, James, and I was looking at Spagnuolo and what he does, you know, whether he's facing a pass-oriented team or a team that likes to run. Just watching some tape, and man, he really plugs the gaps. I mean, he really brings safeties down. They can match up one-on-one on the outside. They feel like that. They can do that anyway out there in Kansas City. They certainly can get pressure up front, but the run gaps, so the run stops too. Spagnuolo, the defense coordinator for the Chiefs, man, he is all over that a lot of times. You still got to get the players to execute that that portion of the game plan, though.
Yeah, and that's the key, right? It's one thing to stack it. It's another thing to actually execute it
right.
And to tackle. And I
mm-hmm.
think that's what we've seen with Kansas City when they have been in those situations, is teams can run the football at them. But so many times they're already ahead that teams kind of scrap that running game because now they're playing catch-up and they just don't have the time because they're getting into these shootouts with Kansas City from the score, you know, from a throwing standpoint. So I think it's going to be very key. And right now I'm looking at the practice report for Cleveland right now, and this is really going to be key for me, those inactives. I'm probably not going to play this game until we get 90 minutes prior to that game time, because I want to make clear that right now Jack Conklin had his first practice this week. He does have a hamstring injury at the right tackle position, and then where are we at with Bontonio at the left guard? Those are key injuries that I want to make sure those players are going to be suited up and be on that offensive line, because if they are, I like that prop under with Baker Mayfield. I also, we talked about this too, Pritch, looking at these numbers, we've seen Kansas City has kind of slow started, especially the last four games that Mahomes has started. The first half, they've only scored 44 points in that first half,
right,
his last four starts. As to something we talked about as well, kind of, it's not a blind trend that I do. It's just something I've looked at in the NFL playoffs for years, is those number one seeds and sometimes those number two seeds, when they've sat a while and not only had that week 17 bye, but kind of been coasting because they were clearly going to have those top seeds and waiting for the playoffs to start, sometimes it takes them a little while to get in gear. And we definitely saw that with Kansas City last year when they played Houston.
Sure, sure. On to the big boy. On to the big boy. Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks going at it. Bucks and the Saints, James. And, you know, you look at these props. Brady, 306.5. Drew Brees, surprisingly, 279.5 there. Passing yards, rushing yards, Kamara, 61.5. Receiving yards, here's where it gets juicy. Michael Thomas, 79.5. Chris Godwin, 65.5. Mike Evans, 63.5. Antonio Brown, 54.5. And Emmanuel Sanders, a guy who has so much experience in big games and Super Bowls, sitting there at 43.5 for receiving yards, James.
Yeah, and I think for me looking at those props, I feel like with the Saints, the only concern, I think Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, but especially Thomas, should have big days in this game because I think Breeze is going to have plenty of time to throw the football. Devin White should be back. He was on the COVID list last week, didn't play against the Washington football team in their wild card playoff game, and he's really a big pass rusher and just sets a lot, gets into that backfield very disruptive as that linebacker for the Bucs defense. But in this case, I think Breeze is going to have a pretty clean pocket. The only concern is he spreads the football around. Last week against the Bears, he hit 10 different players with a reception. Back in week 9 when they played Tampa, he hit 12 different receivers, running backs, etc. 12 different players caught a pass from Drew Brees. So he spreads the wealth, and I think that really makes it difficult for the Bucs when you're trying to game plan, knowing that he can go into double digits when he's spreading the football around, really makes it tough to get off the field. So I think from this standpoint, I'm not really sure to do with the prop. But as far as the side goes, laying 3, I'm definitely leaning towards the New Orleans Saints side.
So you notice that too. I mean, Brady's starting to do that as well. I mean, when you add Antonio Brown, even though you have Gronk, Mike Evans, Godwin, why do you need Antonio Brown? You know why? Because of spacing. Because of distribution of the football. So teams or defenses just can't shorten the field and hone in on particular players. So Drew Brees is doing that. Brady is doing that as well. This game gets so juicy by the minute, James. I'm just excited about this one. But it's a unique matchup. Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks going at it. I mean, we can't wait for this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the key for both of those is they've seen every look that you're going to throw at them. We're talking about Breeze and Brady, right? Two Hall of Fame quarterbacks for sure. They've seen it all, and you're going to be playing in a dome, limited fans, very low noise. Like, they're going to be able to make the reads, make the checks, communicate what those defensive looks are. I just feel like I love New Orleans defense in this sense, but I feel like both teams are going to have the ability to put points on the board because those quarterbacks are going to be in a very good comfort zone tomorrow. Sunday.
Yep, on Sunday. Still sitting at 3. Therefore, the Saints at home, 52 is the total. Up next, if you're worried about totals, well, let's bet on who's going to score the most points this weekend. It's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Just download the app. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip. Be sure to have your state-issued ID. Open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. With state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week, you're going to love this app. VSiN is also reporting live from the Mandalay Bay every weekend. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you. James, I need your help on this one. Going over these props or these situations, certainly from BetMGM, in terms of betting on the highest scoring game of the weekend. I'm looking at the totals. So Cleveland, Kansas City total is 57. By coincidence, you can bet on the Browns and the Chiefs plus 115 to be the highest scoring game. So my question to you is, well, this is plus money here to bet on this situation, plus 115, as opposed to betting the over in this game for the Cleveland Browns and the Chiefs. You see what I'm thinking? I might be confusing myself on this one, though.
Well, look at the number, though. It is plus money, but it's very minimal. It's just 15 cents, right?
Right.
So it's just the plus $1.15, and ultimately that means that I think if you're looking at the Rams and Packers, we know that it's going to be somewhat chilly there, but ultimately the issues are going to be for the Rams to be able to score consistently. That's not going to be their game plan. They're going to rely on their defense, and it's not going to be this big shootout. And then we talk about the Ravens and the Bills. Weather's going to come in there. It is going to play a factor, potentially, especially with the passing game. And then as far as the Ravens go, that clock moves fast when the Ravens play because they don't throw the football a lot. They are going to run the ball, and that is going to continue to click the clock's going to continue to move. But I think if anything, I might be looking at the Bucks Saints if I was going to do this at plus 60. And ultimately, I think for we just talked about that, right? You got two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. I think both players are going to have those quarterbacks should have pretty clean pockets. The Saints do a great job of keeping Breeze upright because they have balance, and obviously they've run so many different formations out there, and he has the ability to spread the football all around the field, and they get rid of the ball really quickly. And same thing with Brady. I think watching that game last week with the Bucs against Washington, we know the strength of Washington was that defensive line. Now, they weren't very creative with some of their stunts and things that they were trying to get consistent pressure on, just rushing their front four, but ultimately Brady had a really clean pocket in that game, and I think you see him when he has a clean pocket. Not only does he make the reads, he understands what defense he's looking at. He's got spectacular players to throw the football to, but he's also been very accurate, especially the second half of the season, in particular after the bye when they had some more time to work on their timing. They've looked really sharp offensively. Now, granted, they haven't been playing great competition, but I was impressed how that pocket held up for Brady. Mm-hmm. Now, they are going to be missing their right guard, no cap of this week, but if anything, I'd be looking at that Bucs Saints. You're playing indoors, right. Fast field, two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and I think they know that's the Sunday night game. People aren't coming to see those defenses. The TV, television, they want points. So I don't know if we'll see a whole lot of holding calls in that game either. They want to see some points put on the board.
Well, and then it factors into when look at the NFC, all four head coaches are offensive play callers too. So absolutely, yeah. The Bucs and the Saints indoors plus 260 right there for the highest scoring game of the divisional round. What about the highest scoring team of the weekend? Here's some interesting odds too. Chiefs plus 160. Here we go again. Saints plus 500. The Packers plus 600. The Bills plus 600. The Buccaneers plus 800, Ravens plus 900, Browns plus 900, Rams 22-1. Obviously, offensively challenged with the LA Rams.
Yeah, skip that one. 22-1. Yeah, that's a juicy number, but there's a reason why it's 22-1. They're begging you to donate your money to the casino. So I think from this standpoint, you correlate what you talked about. If you're thinking that that's going to be the matchup as far as the two Hall of Fame quarterbacks putting points and getting into a slugfest as far as the shootout goes, matching touchdowns, then I think you look at it, well, which team do I think is going to be more effective offensively? Is it going to be the Saints and or is it going to be the Bucs? You make that decision right there. The way I would go is either one of those teams. And at this point here, I think with the Saints being able to consistently have some, have some depth to their offense and run the football too, they'll be more likely to put sevens on the board when they get into the red zone. I'd be leaning towards the Saints at plus 500.
Yeah, NFL has turned into the NBA in some aspects, James. I love the spacing concepts, the wide open offenses that we see. I mean, this could be an exciting weekend for sure. Hall of Fame quarterbacks, playmakers all over the place. Looking forward to that. These prop bets are amazing to bet on as well, or even to think about. Up next, we're going to get to Greg Peterson. He's going to join the program to help us out with college basketball, the Big Ten, and other conferences getting it done this year. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Everybody, get ready for betting this weekend's NFL games, college hoops, the NBA, tennis, soccer, golf, everything for less than a dollar a day. Increase your sports betting knowledge with an all-access VSiN package that includes our daily email best bets, 24/7 video streaming, the 86-page NHL preview, and the Point Spread weekly betting guide. All this for less than a dollar a day. Plus, you get a free trial. What are you waiting for? Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program, Betting Across America. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you, and happy to bring on to the program Greg Peterson, covers college basketball for vsin. Greg, how are you?
Gentlemen, I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thanks for your time, as always. Let's start with this game. Off the radar a little bit, Marshall and Western Kentucky. I just want to get your take on this one.
This is an interesting matchup because, in my opinion, Charles Bassey, who winds up playing for Western Kentucky, one of the most underrated big men that you're going to find in college basketball, averaging a double-double, and he's going to be going up against a Marshall team that they're not necessarily strong down low, but they're one of the best teams at being able to generate steals. So you sort of have a strength-on-strength matchup. Western Kentucky has not necessarily been able to shoot the three well, but Luke Frampton, the transfer from Davidson, he's been able to shoot right around 38-39% from three, and Gerard West on the other side for Marshall, he's one of the best, I guess you could call it, defensive guards that you're going to find in college basketball. As I'm seeing it right now, Western Kentucky laying about 4 points. Mm-hmm. I wound up gravitating a little bit more to the low post play in this one because Marshall has a reputation to be a little bit more of an up-tempo team, but they've actually been a little bit better on defense. But I think that in the end, just being able to get those second and third chances going to help out the Hilltoppers at home.
Hey, Greg, so let's jump into Friday night. We do have one ranked team playing tonight with Wisconsin. They are traveling to Rutgers. Now, Wisconsin really coming off that beatdown and have to pick up the pieces of their pride after that beatdown at Michigan. They're going to Rutgers now, and they're actually laying a little bit of wood on the road, 2.5 or 3 in some spots in favor of Wisconsin. Who do you favor in this matchup?
I can tell you, being a native of the state of Wisconsin, the Badgers' house of horrors is a wreck out there in the state of New Jersey. You may recall when Wisconsin made the national title with Frank Kaminsky and company, they actually took a stunning loss at the rack that year. They also lost last year at the rack. I believe that ever since Rutgers joined the Big Ten, Wisconsin has never won in the state of New Jersey against Rutgers. So that's a little bit of an angle that I do take a look at. Ron Harper Jr. has been doing a great job for this Rutgers team. He's been able to chip in there right around 20 points per game. Now, Geo Baker has been off his game. You expected a little bit more out of them, but this is a Rutgers team that they've been without Cliff Amarui down low, but it seems like they're starting to find a little bit of something with them. Meanwhile, for Wisconsin, we saw what happened in Ann Arbor a couple days ago. They were looking okay in the first half, and then there was that big, like, colossal, something like 26-2 run. It was absolutely ridiculous. And for Wisconsin, they do a great job of not turning the ball over, but down low, they could be a little bit fragile. And I think that that's where Rutgers is really going to be able to take advantage. I'm taking Rutgers on the money line. I think that they should be able to win the game outright, as Wisconsin just always seems to struggle whenever they go to the rack.
You know, Greg, constant reminder about COVID and pandemic that we're in. We're looking at Saturday's games and trying to preview these ones, right? And you're the perfect person to help us do this right now, especially with premier matchups, Ohio State and Illinois. When you think about Illinois' front court, I think the Big Ten is doing something that other conferences aren't doing with the big men paint touches and everything like that, more so than perimeter play and guard play, which you see across college basketball. But talk about this game, even though we're still waiting on the developing of the lines and everything with the situations coming up on this Saturday.
And if you're looking for an early opener, as I'm seeing it at Circa, Illinois is a 6-point favorite, and as I'm seeing it, a total of 146.5. And in this spot, with the line being right around 6, I would gravitate a little bit towards Illinois. Now, if you get up to a touchdown, then I'd be starting to take a look at Ohio State. But what I think is interesting is, like you mentioned, what you're able to find down low with this Illinois team, because you've got Kofi Coburn, a guy that's able to give you a double-double. But more importantly than that, how's Ohio State going to be able to match up with Io DeSumo, guy that's able to give you over 20 points per game. He's been able to do a very terrific job for this bunch. And then with Ohio State, you do have a guy in EJ Liddell who's able to give you a couple points, a couple rebounds. And then you've got Kyle Young down low, who's going to be able to match up a little bit with Kofi Coburn. But I just think that Illinois is a more talented team in this spot. Anything less than a touchdown, I'd be taking a look at the Illini to be able to cover on their home floor, because we saw what happened when they wound up playing against Northwestern last week. They were down at the half by double digits, 53-13 in the second half. I can't remember ever seeing quite that big of a sway in a game.
So let's stick in the Big Ten in another top 25 matchup, Michigan traveling to Minnesota. Now, Michigan, we just talked about that. Wisconsin having to pick up the pieces of their pride getting throttled by Michigan. Now Michigan going on the road, and I did see some openers with the Wolverines laying 4.5 going up to Minnesota. How do you see this matchup playing out in the Big Ten?
Yeah, this is a fascinating one because you take a look at this Michigan team. They are now getting all the clout. They are getting all the hype because you've got Hunter Dickinson, a guy that down low has been able to do an absolutely terrific job as a freshman, but they're going to be running into a guy in Liam Robbins that comes over from Drake, and he's been able to give the team a couple blocks, 14 points, 7 rebounds. And what I've noticed about Minnesota is that they're losing on average by about 20 points on the road, but at home, this team has been lights out as well. So in this spot, I would be taking a look at the points. I don't know if Minnesota would be able to pull this game off outright. I wouldn't be willing to take a money line here, but I mean, when you take a look at this Minnesota team, the big key for them is having Marcus Carr being the best player out there on the floor. He's averaging over 20 points per game. This is a Minnesota team that they're a little bit hit or miss from 3-point range, but in the barn, they are so much better than they have been on the road. This is just one of these classic teams, and we see it a lot in the Big Ten. A lot of these teams, they just play vastly different home to road. Purdue, I always think, is the biggest example of this, but in this spot, if you're catching more than 4 points, I probably would be gravitating towards the Gophers to be able to cover that number at home.
Greg, we have about a minute and a half here. Last one. What about Michigan? Like you said, I mean, it kind of they've done damage at home, obviously, up 40 points on the Badgers at one point. But here you do go on the road with Juwan Howard, have to get this team, young player, and Dickinson as well.
Yeah, I do think that this is a Michigan team that they are one of these teams that they're starting to prove it because they had a little bit of a soft schedule to start with. I do think that they are a top five team. And when you take a look at the best teams in college basketball, probably goes Gonzaga, Baylor. And then I would argue that Michigan is number three, but just going on the road in the Big Ten, never an easy task.
Never easy at all. Greg Peterson, you make it easier with your appearances on this program. Thanks again for your time today.
Gentlemen, always appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Greg Peterson covers college hoops for VSIN. And James, a lot to unpack right there when it comes to college basketball. I like the Big Ten doing what they're doing with the big men and then the perimeter play like you see everywhere else in other conferences.
Well, and for me, when I start betting college basketball is when they start to get into the meat of the schedule when it comes to conference play. Love conference play. Talked a lot about the Big Ten, but I like the Big 12, too. There's a big matchup tomorrow, Baylor-Texas Tech. Looking forward to that matchup in Saturday afternoon.
I'm right there with you. I like this Texas Tech hoop team. Chris Beard could have been a coach out here. Chose Texas Tech instead of UNLV. We'll get into that. That's a different story. Up next, Paul Bruno joins the program to talk NHL. Can't wait for that appearance. It's coming up next. BetMGM customers have a chance to win $100 when they place a $1 wager on the Lakers or Pelicans to hit a three. Download the app today. Use promo code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Lakers or Pelicans to hit a three. It's a new customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? 800-522-4700. Colorado, Nevada. 800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, Tennessee. Or call and text the red line at 800-889-9789. Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It's Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas is with you and happy to bring on to the program. Covers hockey, senior hockey writer for RotoWire. Also has host a podcast there. It'd be Paul Bruno. Paul, how are you?
Great today. How are you guys doing?
Doing awesome. Awesome. Hockey season has started. Off to a bang, really, to be honest with you. The back-to-back nature of hockey, you know, we see that in the NBA, but we're going to get that here with Chicago and Tampa Bay. You know, when we look at hockey, the infancy of the season, you think about key players, you know, Taze is going to be out. You think about what that could mean for the Blackhawks and this return matchup against Tampa Bay.
Well, you look at the fact that their depth at center has been slashed in half with the fact they've got arguably the top two guys in their depth chart on the long-term IR. That's Jonathan Taves and Kirby Dach. So the depth at center for the Hawks is really compromised when you think behind Dylan Strome, there's Lucas Wallmark, Pius Sutter, and David Kempf. The bottom three guys there don't inspire me to pick any of them for any daily fantasy games or anything like that. Strome is certainly a guy that would have been in the mix for a top center role position in Chicago, and they're really up against it to start their season. They drew the short straw, and they get the Stanley Cup champs back-to-back, so a tough beginning for that club.
Hey, Paul, James Salinas out here in Denver, Colorado. Pleasure to meet you, and thank you for coming on and giving us some time today. So talk about depth, because I think this year, obviously, it's interesting year when it comes to scheduling in the age of COVID. We know that there's basically the schedule is going to be set up with a lot of kind of mini series, right? Two games and three game sets in some instances. Can you talk about kind of the depth of goaltenders, how important that's going to be for teams, as well as how the taxi squad is going to work in this season?
Okay, the taxi squad is going to come in handy because there's going to be bumps and bruises every night. And so teams are being allowed to carry five extra players on their rosters, and they're going to be close at hand, so they'll be able to shuffle them in and out. The goalies will be an intriguing situation, guys. And when you're talking back-to-backs, it's not always going to be on consecutive nights. So, for instance, the Leafs play against Ottawa tonight. They get Ottawa again tomorrow. So that's consecutive nights, but there's other series like the Chicago and Tampa, they skip a day. So the starting goalies could play both games in both cases. But on consecutive nights, you'll see teams, more of them go to a second string goalie on the second of the back-to-back. So that might be the only difference in terms of net mining. But the taxi squad, you can bet for sure that it's going to come in handy on almost a daily basis with the schedule being so condensed.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird schedule, condensed schedule. Like you mentioned, we're speaking with Paul Bruno, senior hockey writer for RotoWire. And it's like a mini bubble, but it's not a bubble because of these teams like the Avs and the Blues. They're playing again, even though it's been a couple of days here. They will be matching up again here. And, you know, the Avs did not get the victory first time around. How do you see this matchup second time around here, Paul?
Well, you know what? With the Avs and the Blues, you're talking about two of the top three teams in this division, and they're going to go hammer and tong against each other all season long. They're going to face each other eight times, so you're going to get a real good benchmark about how you match up against one another all season long. And certainly, the Avs fell short in their opener. It was a home game, so you really don't like to lose those games in division, particularly against a rival. So St. Louis puts a big check mark up on their side of the tote board early on with that first win, and so the pressure's on Colorado. You'd hate for them and their fans to think that they might lose two games in a row against division rivals in their own barn, and that's something you want to guard against because you want that division supremacy. It's a telling sign when whether the Avs will play their preferred run and gun style, or will the Blues draw them into their preferred grinding, checking, close checking type game. And first place in this division is going to be really important, guys, because I said there's three teams in this division that are probably going to run away from the pack, and the second and third place teams will get one another in that first round, and the first place team will get a softer touch in the first round of the playoffs. So very early on, it's very important to get the upper hand in these head-to-head series.
Well, and speaking of head-to-head, let's look at the Battle of Pennsylvania, the Flyers hosting the Penguins again. Very high-scoring game the first time out. Now that you get to adjust, I guess that's going to be the thing when we see these teams play each other, whether it's back-to-back, but ultimately a day in between, making adjustments. And how do they adjust, especially if you have a high-scoring game where they gave up, talking about the Pens, gave up six goals in that game. How do you adjust, and what do you anticipate with this matchup going forward tonight?
Well, these teams really know each other because they've been division rivals and arch rivals for a long, long time, owing to the cross-state nature of their geography. So there's that, and the high stakes have been visible in the past. Plenty of penalties when these teams match up, and that means special teams play an important role. You look at game one, fellas, and three of the goals were scored on the power play, and I think the power plays are going to be equally important tonight in the second game of the season for both clubs. Look, at Philadelphia really solved their goaltending conundrum with the emergence of Hart in the nets. That gives him a real edge against most teams on a nightly basis, and he'll be a nemesis for the Penguins. They're going to try out two younger goalies this season in terms of Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith. So I think you got to give a bit of an edge to the Flyers in net, and I really like the depth that they have on defense over the Penguins. Offensively, I would say they rate about even. So overall, I tend to lean a little bit in Philadelphia's direction, and that first game might be repeated tonight. I could see a couple of goals in favor of Flyers in tonight's matchup again.
Speaking with Paul Bruno, senior hockey writer and host of a podcast here for RotoWire. And Paul, style of play, because you hit on that with the Blues and the Avs. And from a condensed schedule standpoint, what should we expect? Certainly as we want to look to place a wager or two on the NHL this year, from a style of play standpoint, when you have these matchups and familiarity and also the condensed schedule, that nature, taxi squads as well, what should we expect now, and then at what point should we expect the style of play to change a little bit here for hockey?
Well, the first couple of weeks, guys, is effectively the training camp for each of these clubs. They really only had 1 week together before the season started. In most cases, maybe 10 days for some of the non-playoff teams that didn't make it into the bubble. So they're all getting their feet wet in terms of the team orientation that they want to pursue. And so I think it's going to be kind of less physical in the early going than we'll see later on in the season. Maybe what more wide open hockey. But as is the tendency every NHL season, in the last couple of weeks of the schedule, teams are getting ready to play that button down, more hard checking style and play it close to the vest. So I think you can expect some wide open hockey to start the season, more higher scores in the early going than you're going to tend to see in the latter part of the schedule.
Hey, Paul, one more quick question before we let you go, and thank you again for your time. Thinking about, so as somebody who really bets a lot of NFL, we get inactive reports as we know exactly who's going to actually play in those games 90 minutes prior to game time. Now, in the NHL, you just talked about, and it's going to be very key, knowing who those goaltenders are going to be, especially if we're talking back-to-back nights. How do you find out, and when do these get released when we actually know who's going to be between the pipes for these teams?
Well, you're going to give me a chance to plug RotoWire, and we all appreciate that. They have a great resource that I participate in, and that allows you to get a sense for who are the starting goalies and what the lineups do look like. And you've got to really know the power play composition for each of the clubs, too. And we have that in a separate tab under the RotoWire Hockey Files. So I urge your listeners to get on and subscribe to RotoWire, because it's one of the best resources for tracking the lineups and tracking the daily changes and finding the injury statuses and getting those updates. You got to know them on a daily basis, and right down to who starting goalie is going to be for your clubs. And it's all there in the RotoWire depth charts and so on. And I'm pretty proud of to say it's one of the best resources that I've ever used on the web.
It's a great resource. So are you, Paul Bruno. Thanks so much for your time today on the show.
Happy to be here, guys. Call me anytime.
Absolutely. Happy to have you. Paul Bruno, senior hockey writer and podcast host right there on RotoWire. And James, he's right about that, because last night you're thinking about, or, you know, out here in Vegas, I think it was the last minute in terms of, okay, who's going to be in net? Was it going to be Leonard, or was it going to be Fleury? And so you just keep that under wraps until you have to reveal that. Maybe an advantage for you.
Right, and that's the beauty of live in-game wagering, too, if you're not sure who's going to be out there. I will say this, though, to Paul's point, as far as RotoWire goes, I have it up on my screen now. I use this consistently for all sports, so I've used it for team depth when it comes to injuries, for NFL, for NBA. I look at this, especially right now, we know with COVID. We talked about that game last night with the Hornets, and was Hayward going to play or not? Checking those things, that RotoWire has really been a great source for me. It's a tool I've used for a long time. time, just for, because I know, you know full well how impactful for me it is to make bets on knowing who the personnel are going to play. Mm-hmm. So great point by Paul to talk about from the hockey perspective, especially from the goaltending. Please, we have to know who's going to be in goaltending. Great resource to use.
Absolutely. Do you have a waiting period for NHL? Or because I know when we were doing the shows during the playoffs, I mean, we were looking in and inside and out for hockey angles. But what's your approach to the NHL season?
Right now, I listen to other experts like Paul and so many others that are on our network, right? Because our lanes are pretty wide when we talk to the sporting world, right? We got every sport right now outside of baseball going. There's only so many lanes you can focus on. So for me, it's still really keying on the NFL and then getting into college basketball, too, now that we've gotten into conference play.
Yeah, that is so smart. And I'm like right there with you on that. I stuck my toe in the NBA last night with Charlotte. Toronto. I'll give you that outcome of my ticket in hour number two. Also in hour number two, Andrew Siciliano, NFL Network. You see him on the Red Zone channel on DirecTV. He joins Betting Across America. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.